Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarny Circle, Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindindi Country, as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And we're going across the nation, thanks to NIRS. Yes, big shout-out to your mob and a big shout-out to First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, our Deadly Black Network. Make all our yarns, give all our stories, play our deadly music, introduce our up-and-coming artists coming from our mob, which is fantastic, a powerful tool, so do utilise it. Let's open up the show. We're going to catch up now and go to, actually, go to Norman J, Mornington Island. Big shout-out, Mornington Island, to Deadly Mob.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of Mornington Island, the past, present and emerging, and my deepest respect to all the elders of this island. Mornington Island. Let's go. Every time we go boy, out on a wall bar. Yeah, Mornington Island. This is our the place of many waters I see. This is where I'm meant to be.
This is where I'm meant to be.
Mornington Island, it's waiting for me.
separated them. Yeah. Mornington Island. Gunana.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that choppy number again is 1-800-422-416, the number you need to call. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 0457140550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yarnum with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Here we are, Yidinji Country, and give a big welcome to St Kilda and Port Adelaide, who are here for their next game fixture, playing here at Kazali Stadium here in Cairns, Mulgrave Road. And a big shout-out to both those teams, and welcome, and we are looking forward to catching up and having a yarn with the likes of Paddy Ryder and Ben Long and all the Indigenous players. So that'd be fantastic. But stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up a yarn now. We've got a call on the line. I believe we've got we're going to catch up chat to Lieutenant Colonel Mark Christopher and Colonel Mitchell Kent, Defence Australia, and talk about opportunities within Army, Navy and Air Force cadets and how Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people can get involved. And we've got them on the line now. A very good morning. Hello. Hello there.
Oh, hello, Trev.
Yeah, who's this? Colonel Mark?
Oh, hello, Trev.
You there?
Oh, hello, this is Mitch Kent. How are you going?
Oh, Mitch Kent. Colonel Mitch Kent, I'm well. How are you going?
I'm going very well. How are you?
Lovely. And just going to also invite and say hello to Colonel Mark Christopher, Lieutenant.
Yes, Lieutenant.
You there?
Yes, I am.
I got you both. Okay, fantastic. So we've got Lieutenant Colonel Mark Christopher on the phone, mobile, and calling in. Got Colonel Mitchell Kent. Talking about, you both were Defence Australia, talking about the opportunities within Army, Navy and Air Force for cadets and how young Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait people can get involved. So, yeah, share the pathway, please.
Yeah, g'day, Trev. It's Mitch here. I'm sitting in Canberra, so our national headquarters. We've had some recent announcements from government for an expansion of the cadet program. So Army, Navy and Air Force, so cadets, youth of ages from 13 to 17, can get involved across the country. We've got over 28,000 youth involved in our programs in over 400 locations. So exciting news that we've had announcements to improve infrastructure into next year, and we're looking to grow by up to 10%. It's quite an ambitious target.
Yes.
In the next 12 months.
Well, the records do show that the pathway is exciting and it's popular. So why not extend it? Yes.
Yeah, yes, and we've had we've had some good experience with growth over the last few years, so that's shown the success of the program. And what we're after is partnerships with the community. It's very important to us. We can't just lob up into a community and establish a new cadet unit. We work in partnership with communities, and we need. Willing volunteers to run the program for us, because we can provide support in the form of finance and a program.
Yes.
That we think is attractive for young people to get involved. It's a youth development program. We look to develop our young people's leadership and teamwork and their resilience and the community spirit. But we need volunteers who are supportive of that, and communities that can provide facilities where we can run these programs from. So as I said, I sit in our national headquarters and I overlook the Army program. I work alongside our Navy and Air Force counterparts. I might just throw to Mark. He's had a long involvement up in the Northern Territory running programs out in our remote and regional areas, and he'll probably provide a different perspective about how we do that actually out on the ground.
Lieutenant Colonel Mark Christopher, thank you very much. And I'm also thinking along the lines
Mark heard that.
Yeah, Mark, did you catch that? Lieutenant Colonel Mark, you there? No, lost him. Yep, no, lost him. He's on the mobile phone. He called in on the other line and just trying to. But just adding to that, and regarding the soldiers or cadets have gone before them, they too become a promotional arm as well in regarding inspiration. Yes. Would you say that, Colonel Mitchell? Would you agree to that? I lost Colonel Mitchell as well. All right, technology. Here it is. We'll try again. Colonel Mitchell, you there? No. We're having a deadly yarn. It was a deadly yarn, but deadly cutoff as well. Colonel Mitchell Kent, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Christopher. They're both from Defence Australia. And we're talking about the new opportunities government has engaged and will have been, but they're going to add more funds to this fantastic opportunity within Army, Navy and Air Force cadets, and how young Aboriginal and Torres Strait people can get involved. And those numbers are pretty high, which is fantastic. And that in itself let the record show that it is a popular pathway and a lot of our mob are getting involved. I want to give a big shout out to Alicia, who was working here at Bummer Bipper Media for about 4 or 5 odd years. And she has joined the Navy about 2 years ago. So she's still in touch when she comes home, drops and sees her Bummer Bipper. And there's another example of a deadly young black girl who took the pathway into the Navy and kicking goals in more ways than one. But look, have you saying Yana Strong? Had the conversation here, National Talk Black. We'll just try again with Colonel Mitchell Kent. And in actual fact, we've got Mark Christopher, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Christopher on the line. You there, Mark? How are you?
Yes, obviously a little bit of technical difficulty, and you've now got me at a loss because I didn't hear what the boss said. So I'm guessing he may have promised lots of money for my area.
Sure, and the boss probably wants to have a word with you regarding our muck up here on radio, but it's all good. I'm talking about...
We'd be loath to cast stones because technology can sometimes not be our friends.
Now, talking about the cadets who've gone before, they too become a success, a pathway, a promotional arm, in regard to new cadets coming to the table. You agree?
Yes. Look, I'm guessing you mean success in life.
Yes.
No matter what form that may take. And
yes.
As you know, and again, you've got me at a loss because I couldn't hear anything Colonel Kent was saying, but you know, we're not a recruiting agency, and I'm more than happy, in fact ecstatic, when I see my past cadets, when I pop up all over the territory and now in the Kimberley, and they say hello, I know you from a while ago, sometimes of course because they're now 20 odd and so they look a little bit different from when they were 13.
Yes.
And I ask them what they're doing, and it's significant number have gone on to do good things. And look, and even if it's just to get over a phobia or scared of talking publicly, and I talk to, and this young one young woman comes to mind specifically, but I won't embarrass her, where she was literally in tears as a child every time I spoke to her, and now she's a confident young woman, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And look, success breeds success, and that's what we're talking about here. And now there's more money to be, more funding at the table, and that just shows, the record show that it's a proven success, and we should invest in something like this.
Well, I think so, yes. And I'm guessing, again, Colonel Kent would have mentioned to you that within reason, the cadets themselves are the easiest for us to get. The backbone is the community. The community must support. And without the community support in the form of adults who are going to become staff, we can't go too much further. But once I have willing staff, I can then give them training and everything else they need. And I know it's a bit of a trite saying, but it really is a win-win for society.
Yeah, fantastic. I think we're Colonel Mitchell Kent there. Are you there, Colonel?
Yeah, Trevor, I'm back on, so I'm not sure how long I rambled on by myself.
No, we caught everything. We caught everything, just that Mark couldn't hear us, but he's back with us. So, look, fantastic. When we're talking Army, Navy and Air Force, cadets, we're not just talking shooting guns. We're talking real jobs as well. And so if they leave the Defence Force, they walk into a career pathway too, don't they?
Yeah, we think, so we've moved a long way from military training, which was the old cadet model. So we're a youth development organisation now. We term ourselves military-like, and that we don't, and actually we're not allowed to train on military skills. That's against the UN Convention on Child Soldiers. So we put them in a uniform, that gives them the identity, and we give them leadership and teamwork and those sorts of experiences, and we give them a purpose. So it's actually cadets running the program under the, I suppose, the supervision of the volunteers to make sure it's a safe environment. And the cadets actually own the running of the program to a great degree. They have a voice in what activities are conducted and the cadet development continuum. So they get the skills of learning how to plan. They get the skills of being part of a team, but also leading teams. And they get the skills that we provide them, whether it's, you know, field skills, navigation, those sorts of things that you'd equate to being in an Army program or Air Force program, and naval or sailing related or flying related, even if you're in the Air Force program. But even the simple skills I would take for granted, but a lot of young people these days just don't get the confidence to get up and stand in front of people and talk, sell themselves, sell an idea, and can communicate in front of others. So there's a whole range of skills that are transferable across to the workplace that we think that we give them. And cadets isn't a recruiting tool. Actually, the majority of the young people that join cadets don't come on into the military. I'd love to see them join the military.
Sure.
I think they're fantastic young people.
But it's a bridge, isn't it? It's a bridge.
Yeah, but it's a bridge. It's a bridge out into the wider community. And if we can build great young people, whatever field they go into, we're building great community leaders of the future. So I think it's great for the nation. And that's part of Army, Navy and Air Force's community engagement program and building a stronger nation.
Exactly. And then we're talking about those skill sets then going back to community. When the young ones do go back home, they can then step into, in the council role or, you know, running for mayor or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and we've got hundreds of stories of young people, young leaders, who can link back to their cadet times and say they got their confidence and they got their start in cadets with those skill sets that they hadn't picked up elsewhere. And it was actually the skill sets they learned in cadets that they gave them the confidence to go on and do be successful in their chosen careers.
Over to Colonel Mark. When we're talking about these cadets training, percentages are high, then became cadets becoming personnel for the Defence Australia, for Defence Force?
I actually don't have visibility of that. That's actually conducted nationally. So Colonel Kent can probably give you a better answer than I can. I know we're trying to capture that more. It's not as simple as that you should go straight from the cadets to the Defence Force. As Colonel Kent said, we're happy for them to be whatever walk of life.
Sure.
And, you know, whether it's a captain of industry, a local councillor, the head of the NLC, anything like that. And obviously I mentioned the NLC because I am in the territory.
Yes.
Interesting, you actually mentioned councillors. I spent Anzac Day at Jabiroo, and one of my ex-cadets is one of the councillors there.
There you go.
And there's another young man there who I think will probably be a senator for the Northern Territory in the future. He's a very capable young man. Building on this, and there's been two practical applications in the last couple of years. One of the courses, and again, I'll put this in context. I live in the territory, wide open spaces. I understand you're in North Queensland, so probably something similar. Deaths on our roads and people dying in the middle of nowhere because they're a long way from health practitioners is just a fact of life. So one of the courses I offer is first aid, but we also include that field hygiene for when you go bush, hay to keep yourself safe.
Yes.
And I also introduce the cadets to work health and youth safety. Now, they nearly all roll their eyes when we introduce it, but I do tell them this is the way of the world. This will get you job ready, and the other skills are actually life skills, ones that you will put in place. Now, allied to our promotional courses where we teach the cadets to stand up, take charge, speak out, do something, in two recent or relatively recent events, there were the summer Nats in Alice Springs where fuel went over a whole lot of participants. They had a number of cadets there as spectators, nothing to do with cadets per se. They were the first responders. They were on the scene. They managed to get the water. They arranged everything and handed it over to emergency services. Did a magnificent job. They all got gold commendations. And then a year or so later, one of my young cadets was at a popular swimming hole in Litchfield National Park where a gentleman unfortunately had a heart attack. She again was first on the scene and gave CPR for half an hour whilst they tried to save him. Sadly, that gentleman ultimately died. And again, she was given a gold commendation. The takeaway for me was not only did I give them the skills to actually know what to do, more importantly, I gave them the skills to not be an observer, not stand back, to actually get involved and actually be the best person you can be to benefit all of Australia. And
look, it's a proven success, isn't it?
That, and my cadets constantly prove that it's achievable.
Yeah, fantastic. A proven success, and that's why a good investment. Yeah, we lost you. Who does this? I think Christopher. Mark, Christopher?
No.
Yep, no? We'll try that. Are you still there, Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm still here, what Mark was saying is 100% right. So less than 20% of cadets across the board come to defence. As I said, I'd personally like to see that higher, but we encourage success in any career. We show them the pathway. If they choose defence, that's great. If they choose another pathway, that's also great for Australia.
Yes.
But what we do know is if they do come to defence, they generally do better in their initial training and they generally stay longer.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a natural interest, I suppose. So we do set them up for success if they decide to come into defence through that pathway.
Well, like I said, it's a fantastic investment and, like I said, proven success. The records do show that, so invest more money and more time into this space and empower our Australians, you could say. Thank you very much for the yarn there, Colonel Mitchell, and all the best to Colonel Mark Christopher as well. And we'll be in touch, and thank you very much for the yarn.
Thanks very much, Trevor, and thanks to the listeners.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. That's Colonel Mitchell Kent. And we had also Lieutenant Colonel Mark Christopher. Did lose him at the end. But look, a very fantastic opportunities for Army, Navy and Air Force cadets and how young Aboriginal Torres Strait people can get involved. And the statement I picked up there, well, in regards to no pressure, because you're doing cadets with the Defence Australia, that doesn't mean you have to go down that pathway. But it just gives you skills about working, about life, about finance and receiving a pay packet as such, and you can then venture off into whatever field you want to venture off into. It's a stepping stone as such, you know, not only just for Defence Australia. That's fantastic, and the message I picked up loud and clear there. Have you saying Jan Upstrong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
In the bush.
Yeah, that's from the Bush Warrapri Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Live on First National Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. Now, extended inquiry to investigate terrible toll of defence and veteran suicide. The chair of the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide says the 12-month extension of the inquiry announced this week is vital to thoroughly investigate the complex factors that contribute to death by suicide. We're going to catch up a yarn with Commissioner Nick Caldas on the line. Nick, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Nick?
Sorry?
Where are you based, sorry?
We're in Sydney. We're a Sydney Royal Commission, but we are going around the country, Trevor.
Yes.
So we will be holding hearings in all of the states.
Oh, fantastic. So there has been an extension into the inquiry to investigate terrible toll of defence and veteran suicide. And look, yeah. it's a great investment, a very important investment, yes?
It is. It's a very serious issue, Trevor. So we asked for the extension because having been going for about 8 or 9 months now, we realise the magnitude of the job. It is much bigger than probably anyone anticipated, and we want to make sure we do it once and do it right,
yes.
That we actually get to hear from everyone who wants to talk to us. And we worked out that we simply couldn't do it in the time that we had. We asked for the 12-month extension. The government was very quick in responding and agreeing with us and giving us the extra 12 months.
Does the investigation include First Nation veterans and defence as well?
Very much so. In fact, one of the reasons I was very happy to speak with you today, Trevor, is we're very keen to tell people that we want to hear from them.
Sure.
It's an area that we probably, you know, we could always do more. We can always do better.
Mm.
We're very keen from anyone who has had experiences to contact us. And if I may, Trevor, if I can just outline for people's benefit, there's a few ways that you can engage with the Royal Commission. You can let us know your story, talk to us, tell us the yarn. Making a submission, a written submission, is one way.
Mm.
There's a website, which is our website, the Defence and Veterans Suicide Royal Commission, DVSRC.
Okay.
And that's, the website has the ability to accept submissions. You can submit them online if you like.
Mm.
Or there's a contact number and you can call, and then you can engage with us. You can have private sessions or private hearings if you like. And then there are people who want to have public hearings, give
sure.
evidence in public. And we also have round tables where we discuss with groups, either people who have had lived experience, as we call it, or people who are clinicians and doctors who have treated people, or people who represent ex-servicemen's organisations. We've had specific round tables for all those groups. But, Trevor, if I can just read out the right address for the website, if I may.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's www.royalcommission.gov.au.
Okay. Read that again.
Sorry, I just double-checked that.
Yep.
So I'll come back to you with that.
Yep, come back. Yep. And then when you look at that, the so-called investigation, the survey as such, a bit of a net that's thrown out there, and you could be saving an individual in regard to the yarn, the conversation anyway.
Right. It's absolutely vital, as you said, or important for us to hear from people themselves, what they've been through, what their experience has been, what the problems are that they've come up against. And then hopefully we'd also like to hear their suggestions for things that can be improved or fixed,
yes.
particularly for the problems. And if I could just make the point, Trevor, we don't need to wait until the end of the Royal Commission to make recommendations.
Exactly.
We are going to make recommendations in the interim report in a few months, and we'll probably make recommendations along the way. If we see anything that needs to be fixed, shouldn't wait until the end, and it's urgent, we'll be talking about it straight away. We're not going to wait till the end of the commission.
Well, exactly. We've got a 12-month extension, but like you said, we don't have to wait for 12 months. Beginning's half done, and let's start now.
Yeah.
Here's the opportunity. And when we're talking stories or interviews and yarns, no matter how small or what they're thinking, the defence and veterans as such,
yeah.
whether it be their pay packet or their engagement with community or communication with their family, all the above, you want to know all facets of their lives. Is that right?
Yep. Exactly right. And you've hit on a number of really important points in time, Trevor. So it's important. People have issues sometimes when they join. Then there's maybe issues during the training period. There may be issues during the deployment when they deploy. But one of the issues that are really important is what the experience they face when they're transitioning, as they call it, or leaving, just leaving the defence force, and whether they're ready to move on to another life, to civilian life, whether they've got enough money, whether they've got a job lined up, whether their family is comfortable with what they're doing and there's no issues, whether they're carrying any injuries, physical injuries or sometimes, you know, mental health issues, all of these things. And then they're looked after once they leave, obviously, by the Department of Veteran Affairs.
Exactly.
So there's a whole bunch of other issues we're looking at, and we've held a number of hearings in relation to the Department of Veteran Affairs. They're snowed under, frankly. They have a large backlog of claims of people needing help who have reached out, and it's going to be some time before the department processes their claims and actually gets to where they can help them.
When we're looking at the Defence Veteran, Defence Australia, the government itself, it's a duty of care too, isn't it, in regard to it our soldiers and veterans?
I mean, we have always honoured defence personnel and veterans who have served. They put their life on the line. They choose to serve their country here or overseas in very difficult circumstances, as you can, as you and I can imagine, Trevor. And they deserve and they've earned our respect when they return back to Australia, and particularly when they're leaving the army or the navy. We absolutely all have a duty of care to look after them when they...
Exactly. When they... And we're talking about all facets in regard to the physical sense, mental, emotional, financial, all the above.
Exactly, exactly. All of them need to be addressed.
A very important conversation. Look, great news, fantastic. The inquiry to extend for another 12 months, but let's have the yarns up and running right now. And thank you very much for your yarn. Thank you very much, Nick.
Thanks very much, Trevor. We're happy to have a chat again down the track.
Please,
once sort of up our thoughts. But I just encourage anyone who's listening, if you have a lived experience, if you've been through, you know, an experience, we're very happy to hear from anyone who has thoughts.
Good, beautiful. Nick, thank you very much. All the best. And we will be in touch.
Okay, Matt. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Commissioner. Thanks. Now, there is Commissioner Nick Caldas. He's with the Defence and Veteran Suicide, the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide. There's been a 12-month extension of that inquiry announced this week, so it's very vital to thoroughly investigate the complex factors that contribute to deaths by suicide, and asking for all defence and veterans out there, if you're aware of this, know this, get in touch with them and tell your story, and support help, and your story can help that cause. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
The sun goes down on my side of town. The lonesome feeling comes to my door. And the whole world turns blue. There's a run down the bar, across the railroad tracks. Got a table for two, away in the back, where I sit alone. And think of losing you. I spend most every night beneath the lights of a neon moon. Sometimes see you in the shadows of this snow-filled room. No telling how many tears I've sat here and cried, or how many lies that I've lied. Tell my poor heart. sad songs seem to say what I feel, and this hurt inside of me ain't never gonna end.
Yeah.
Yeah, too deadly. That's Jam All Night. Zenith, big shout out. Japagai Mob, hope you're all well up there in beautiful Coranda and the edge of the Atherton Tablelands. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team down there at Brisbane, Beamer, the Brisbane Digital Media Association. Big shout out to Joy and the team down there as well. All right, now satellites polluting our skies are threatening ancient indigenous astronomy. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Sister Carly Noon, astronomer with the Australian National University. On the line, Carly, good morning, sis. How are you?
Yeah, my brother. Good. How are you?
Too deadly. I'm well. I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Absolutely. So I'm in Gamilaroi, over on the East Coast, a bit south of where you are.
Exactly.
But yeah, kind of near Queensland border.
Lovely, but we are connected by the star and by the stars in the skies, and we're talking about satellites polluting our skies and threatening ancient indigenous astronomy. So, shed some light how you see this as an astronomer, my sister.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we have already issues with light pollution making our skies really
You there? Hey, Carly. You there, Carly? Lost you.
Yeah,
lost you.
Hello. Yeah.
Sorry, continue again. Open that conversation up again.
yeah. So when we think about, you know, our skies and our special places in the sky, you know, we have a place called Warrumbool, which is Sky Camp, right? That's the place behind the Milky Way that we go to, you know, after we have our time here on Earth. Mm. And these are really dark places in the sky, you know. You need really good conditions to be able to see these places. And we already have an issue with light pollution, so... Now what we're seeing is all of these satellites being put into our atmosphere. They're just making it worse and worse. And, you know, as they put more, and they plan to put thousands of these objects into the sky, we're just going to see more of our constellations disappear. And, frankly, I'm not too happy about
it. Exactly. You wouldn't be as an astronomer. And I suppose it just sheds light on the so-called global climate, which shows it's real, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, it's real. And, you know, I think it's really important. And I think, you know, I'm in a lucky space where I get to be able to talk about this. Some people are certainly listening, some people aren't, but that's all right. I'll keep stamping my feet.
Stamping your feet, because we're talking about Mother Earth and talking about, you know, the beautiful skies and stars and what have you, and, you know, like protecting our atmosphere. That's what we're talking about, sister.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel like we should have learned lessons, right? We know what the impacts that we have on country. We know that when we colonize these spaces and we go in and we don't think about the consequences, we're really doing damage to country, and ultimately we're doing damage to ourselves. And I think, you know, we just need to learn those lessons and not make the same mistakes up in the sky that we've made here on the land.
Looking at titles here, give us some definition of mega constellations.
Yeah, so a mega constellation is a group of satellites. So normally, you know, we'll just put one satellite up there to deal with, you know, one thing, like GPS, for example. That's all from our satellites. But what, you know, companies like SpaceX and Starlink are trying to do is, or what they are doing is they're putting entire groups of these satellites. So there could be, you know, a group of 30 satellites all traveling across the sky
and all from different countries, eh?
All from different countries. And, you know, individual countries approve this, but this is something that affects everyone all around the world, and also our animals. You know, they're really struggling with the light pollution as well, you know, trying to be able to get to where they need to go at the right time of the year. Mm. And so this is something that affects everyone on Earth, not just, you know,
exactly.
Not just us.
Yeah. And what about streaks in the sky?
Mm. So that's another aspect of it too. You know, we have this issue with light pollution, but they're actually changing the appearance of the sky. So when this first started happening, I was actually getting emails from people thinking that they were aliens in the sky or UFOs because we'd never seen anything like this before, right? We see these huge lines going across the sky, and you know, if you are lucky enough to be able to see some of our special places, you know, like the emu is another example, then they're actually being altered by these streaks, and then you know that obviously has a really big impact on astronomy as well, which is, you know, what I do in my day job.
In my day job. And what about the Indigenous sky sovereignty?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, kind of coming back to this idea that this is all of our sky, right? We all have connections to the sky.
Yes.
And they're doing this to improve internet. And I'm sorry, but it's just not worth it for me. As an Aboriginal woman, you know, I would rather dial up. I would rather have the slowest internet in the world than to be impacting my access to the sky, to be impacting my access to my, you know, my ancestors' knowledge, and to be able to share that with people as well, and to, you know, to the younger generations and future generations.
So like,
this is our place as well. We share our skies.
Exactly.
And it's not just for the corporations.
So I'm picking up, slow down with technology and leave our vision for the skies. That's what I'm picking up with you, yeah? Is that the case? Carly Noon, where are you going? That's our Carly Noon, astronomer. Passionate, fired up sister, astronomer with the Australian National University, and we're talking about how satellites polluting our skies and a threat in ancient Indigenous astronomy. And it's great to see, great to have a First Nation person, woman, in that field and protecting our skies. I mean, like I said, when we talk about native title, land and sea, well, we're talking air as well. And above our big island, Australia, that is belongs to First Nation people. So there it is. And talk about protecting the ancient Indigenous astronomy. Fantastic. Deadly Yarn. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here? Got about 7 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, that's Beds Are Burning there, Southeast Desert Metal, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up with Yarn now. We've got John McBain from Perth calling in. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, brother. I'm really good. Oh, it's raining over here, so it's quite good country getting a good drink.
Where, WA?
Yeah, in Perth.
Big shout out. Big shout out.
Lovely Noongar country.
Lovely Noongar country.
I heard you talking about the Atherton Tablelands, mate. They want to come and have a look over here.
Just as beautiful, you reckon?
Oh, mate. Everywhere's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Big, beautiful, big island. So tell us your yarn. Tell us your story, John. What you in yarn about?
Well, look, the federal elections, I can't believe they're still talking about stuff that, they're not talking about the real stuff that matters to people. So the first thing is this whole focus on climate change, and this affects all Aboriginal people.
Yes.
The issue is our total footprint on the country, and climate change is a part of that. It's only part of that. It's a very serious part.
Mm.
But black fellows have lived through far greater climatic changes than are being projected from climate change. I'm not saying climate change isn't important, but let's talk about preparing for it and mitigating it rather than debating about whether we're going to have some target that may not be met in sometime in the future.
But I think you'll agree that we have to work towards cutting out global climate and the pollution of the atmosphere, yep.
Oh, look, this planet we all share is amazing.
Yes.
And they've been looking for somewhere like it and they can't find anything. You know, so the idea that we can bugger this up with impunity is just the most stupid thing I've ever heard.
Exactly.
And it largely comes out of greed and power, and the worshipping of money. You know, money's not the be-all and end-all.
No, that's right, brother.
So there's a couple of specific issues I want to raise. The one is now we had over here the incident of the destruction of the Juukan Caves that led to the federal inquiry.
Yep.
And Warren Entsch was the spokesman for that.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the last parliament. And it called for federal laws to protect special places. There's no discussion about that.
Exactly.
So are they saying that doesn't matter anymore? We've been there. We've spent a bit of money telling everyone we're listening, but we're not going to take any notice of our own inquiries, recommendations. Why have the inquiry in the first place?
Well, exactly. Why have it in the first place? And you come out with the answers from the inquiry. That's what you've got to operate with, and it becomes law as such, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
And we urgently need that. You know, it's part of reducing our footprint on the country. And the second thing is, you know, sovereignty has never been ceded, and there's all sorts of things people are pushing for to correct that. So there's recognition in the Constitution of voice again, there's...
John, you make some very, very good points and love to continue to talk. We've got to go to the news, but please call us back. That's John McBain from WA. Thank you for the yarn there, Brother John, but it's coming at a time where I've got to sign off. I've got the news coming up very soon. You mob out there, thank you very much for your company. Great delivering the daily program, National Talk Black. It is your program. Murray just steering the ship. But look, with that, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. Talk to your First Nation Health Organisation regarding COVID-19 and how to live with it. Too deadly, mob.